Today's shiur is Masechet Pesachim Daf Lamed Daled, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. Gufa, Madlikim Apas B'Shemesh Atrumish Anitmes. We could use as fuel bread or oil of Truma that became Tamei. Abayam Mishmei Techizkia, V'Rav Amud Bei Rav Yitzchak, Bar Masa Amar Rav Huna, Loshan Ral Apas. Only bread which becomes disgusting when it's thrown among the firewood, there we are allowed to use that bread that became tamei. We don't have to be concerned that somebody will come to eat the bread, because as we have explained, it's prohibited to eat truma that's tamei. But we don't have to worry that anybody's going to eat this bread that's truma that's tamei, because it's disgusting. It was thrown amongst the firewood. Av chiti, grain, kernels, wheat kernels, loy may not be eaten. Shema yavol de tekala, we may not use it even as fuel when it's tamei, because somebody could come to eat them, which, as we just explained, you're not allowed to eat truma tamei. Rav Yochanan holds afil chitin, even wheat kernels that become tamei, truma may be used as fuel. Ask the Gemara of Amai. Why does Rabbi Yochanan allow us to use these kernels that are truma tamei? Why not bichayshish neichish duma osben l'dayi tekala, that somebody will accidentally use them, eat them, use them, and you're only allowed to use them for burning? Answer the Gemara, k'ravashi. As Rashi said regarding another subject, which we'll see in a moment, b'shelikto umeista. We're speaking about kernels that were first boiled and then made disgusting by throwing them amongst the firewood. So there's no concern that anybody would do anything with these kernels other than using them for fuel. Now there's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. How do we learn shlikto me'istam? Rashi learns that when we have wheat kernels that become truma tamei, we are allowed to go cook them, make them repulsive, to resolve the concern that somebody would use them for any other purpose than for fuel. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that only if they already are in the status that they've been cooked and that they have become disgusting. So these are the kind of truma tamei that I have. That truma tamei, I don't have to be concerned that I'll eat and I could use as fuel. But to go have wheat kernels and then go cook them and try to make them repulsive, that Tosfos says would be prohibited. And in fact, the Achronim explain that really is the basis of the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. Rav Huna does not allow us to use wheat kernels, and Rav Yochanan does. So they explain. According to Rav Huna, everybody understands that when they're repulsive, they're not going to be used for eating. Rav Huna says, don't use wheat kernels, because if we allow you to use wheat kernels when they're disgusting, you may hold on to those wheat kernels, waiting for them to become repulsive, and during that waiting time, you may come to eat them. Rav Yochanan, on the other hand, says that if they're repulsive, we don't have to worry about it. That's how Tosfos will explain the machlokes of Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. Rashi, on the other hand, will explain the machlokes that even Rav Huna agrees that if they are already repulsive, they may be used as fuel. The machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan is when they're not quite yet repulsive. Rav Yochanan says, go make them repulsive, and I'm not worried that during this time that they're not yet disgusting, you may eat them. Rav Huna says, if they're not repulsive, don't use them, because we're concerned that while you're going to make them disgusting, you may come to eat them. Ask the Gemara, V'heichi Itmed Rav Ashi. We speak about this concept of something being repulsive. Where do we learn this? Says the Gemara, Ahad Amar Rav Oven, Amar Rav Ach, Amar Rav Yitzchok. Abishol Gabel Shabes Rabba Haya. Abishol was the person who prepared the dough in the home of Rebbe. And as Rashi explains, in the home of Rebbe, they were careful to eat chulin b'tahara. Even their regular food, they only ate b'tahara. They would heat the water which they used to make the dough with fuel, with fire that was fueled by truma tameya. Even though that water was used to make dough that, as we explained this moment ago, would only be used with tahara. And the question is, Amai, why did they allow this to happen? Why not be concerned that somebody will accidentally use these kernels and have them, eat them, or have them touch the dough, which will make the dough tamei? And Rav Ashi, so that's what Rav Ashi said, Mishlitum is the, that they cooked the kernels, made them repulsive, and therefore there was no concern that they would actually come to eat them or let them come in contact with the dough. Now Tosfos makes a point. He says the halacha is that a Yisrael may benefit from truma, but he only may benefit from truma a hano she'enoi shel kilui, a benefit that does not involve destroying the truma. For example, we learned the Gemara in Masechta Erevin. The Gemara Masechta Erevin says that you could use truma for an Erev, even a Yisrael. Why? Because when you use truma for an Erev, the truma stays intact. And much like Shabbos, you could eat the Erev. Even on Shabbos, you could eat the Erev. So as Tosfos here, we explained that Rebbe was a Yisrael. So how could he take this truma tameya and use it as fuel, which will obviously destroy it when you use it for fuel? The halacha is you're not allowed to use a hano shel kilui. So Tosfos answers that it was used for the kahanim that were in Rebbe's house. They are allowed to use truma even hano shel kilui. That's how Tosfos answers. The Rash in Masechta Truma says that even though a Yisrael may not use truma with a hano shel kilui, with a hano that completely destroys it, that's only when it's for Yisrael's personal private use. However, when it's letzorech harabim, for public use, then even a Yisrael could benefit from truma, a hano shel kilui, a hano where the truma is completely destroyed. In Rebbe's house, there were many tamidei yeshiva, so using this truma tameya as fuel was letzorech harabim, that the tamidei yeshiva should have what to eat, and that's why it was permitted. Other Rishonim make the following difference. They say that Truma Tahira Kohanim eat. Not only Kohanim eat, but even members of their household and have a Kanani eat. Truma Tameya is not eaten. He says the halacha that a Yisrael cannot benefit from Truma Hano shel kilui, hano where the truma is used up, is only when it comes to eating. Here, however, we're referring to hano not of eating. It's not a lot of eating. We're talking about truma tameya. The hano is only hano to have hano as a fuel. There, even a Yisrael is allowed to have a hano shel kilui. But there's another approach, which is offered by the Chazon Ish. It goes back to a fundamental understanding of what Shalikta or Me'ista accomplishes. The Chazon Ish says that he wants to say it's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, Shalikta Me'ista makes the food Nifsal Machilas Kelev, not even edible by a dog. According to Tosfos, on the other hand, says the Chazon Ish, it's nifsal, but it's only nifsal ma'achilas odam. It's not fit for human consumption, but it is fit for animal consumption. So he says like this. According to Rashi, that shaliktum is the makes of nifsal ma'achilas kelev, so it's entirely not a food anymore. Since it's entirely not a food anymore, even a Yisrael may benefit it from it, a hanor shel kilui, a hanor where there's not, where it's not left, where it's completely destroyed, like in our case where it's used for fuel, for fire. According to Tosfos, on the other hand, what happened here was that it was nifsa machilas adam. It was only non-edible by humans, but it was still edible by dogs. Since it was still edible by animals, it still has the status of food. If it still has the status of food, a Yisrael may not benefit it from it a hanor shakilui. It only may benefit it from it a different type of hanor where it still remains. And that's why Tosfos had to say there were kahanim in the house, and since the kahanim were in the house, that's why there was allowed to have a hanor shakilui. Says the Gemara, Abaye bar Avin, Rav Chananya bar Avin, Tana Trumas bar Rava. They were both learning Masechta Trumas in the yeshiva of Rava. Pogabo Rava bar Masna. So Rava bar Masna met them. Amalhu. And he asked them, Mayim Rusa bar Trumas bar Mar, what did you learn regarding Masechta Trumas in the yeshiva? Amalai. So they said to my Kashlach, obviously you have a difficulty in the Masechta that you're asking. Amlusi said, yes, Tanan. We learned in a mission in the Masechta, Shesile Truma Shenitmu, if Truma plants that became Tamei Shaslam were replanted, Tahari Melatamei, they're no longer Tamei, the Sur Melecha, but they may not be eaten. And the question is, if they are no longer Tamei, Amaya Sur Melechol, why may they not be eaten? Amlu, so they told him, Hachi Amar Rabbi, this is the way Rabbi explained the Mishnah, my Asurin Lazarim. That's not that Kahanim may not eaten. Of course, if they're replanted, and by replanting we're saying they lose the status of Tuma, so there's Truma Tahira. And if it's Truma Tahira, a Kahanim may eat it. Who may not eat it? Azar. Azar may not eat it, because it retains the status of Truma, and since it retains the status of Truma, as we've been saying, a Zor may not eat Truma. My Kamashma, so Rabbi Masna doesn't understand this explanation. What are you telling me that the Mishnah is teaching us? The Gdulei Truma Truma, that when somebody plants Truma, what grows out of it is Truma. So he says, Tanina, if that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that when you plant Truma, it retains the status of Truma, that we already learned in another Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, Gedulei Truma Truma. The planted Truma retains the status of Truma. So that can't be what this Mishnah is teaching us. So before we go further, we need to familiarize ourselves with certain concepts and facts. There are two types of plants. There's something which is called Dava Shazara Kala, and there's something called Dava Shain Zara Kala. Dava Shazara Kala means that the seed, what I plant, disintegrates. Dava Shain Zara Kala means that the seed that's planted doesn't disintegrate. The two examples that Rashi gives, Dava Shazara Kala, Rashi says, is cabbage, that when you plant the cabbage, the seed disintegrates. Dava Shain Zara Kala is an onion. When you plant a bulb of an onion, the original bulb remains, just further bulbs sprout out of that original bulb. V'chi teima, says the Gemara, perhaps you know what the Mishnah is teaching us, that gedulei gedulin, that not only the actual growth, but even the further growths, like we explained, by the bulb of the onion, the further bulbs, all of them are considered truma. Or my Kamashmon, and what's it teaching us? Bedovish ain't Zarakala, something like an onion, where the seed doesn't disintegrate, all the future growths are considered Truma. Says the Gemara, Hanami Tanina. That can't be what the Mishnah is teaching us, because that we also already learned in another Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Tevel, if somebody plants Tevel, we know that Tevel is something from which the Trumas and Mises were not removed. The loch is Gedula of Matarim. What grows out of it is permissible. When is that said, Bedovish Zara Kala? That's where the original seed disintegrates. But Bedovish Ein Zara Kala, when the seed doesn't disintegrate, like the onion, I feel a Gedula Gedulin, even the future growths, or the Masurim Bachila. So we already know that Gedulei Gedulim, Bedovish Ein Zara Kala, retain the original status. So that can't be what the Mishnah is teaching us. So Rashi explains that Bedovish Zara Kala, something where the seed disintegrates. What is Gedulin And what is Gedulei Gedulim? So Rashi says that if you would plant a cabbage, a new growth would be identified as what increases in the stalk. That means if you put in a stalk and that stalk grows longer, that is called Gedulin. Gedulei Gedulin would be new leaves that come out of the new part of the stalk. Now, as we just said, the stalk increased, that's Gedulim. The part that grows out of that increased area is Gedulei Gedulin. Tosfos disagrees. He has a much simpler definition of Gedulim and Gedulei Gedulim B'davar Shezara Kala. He says the first generation is Gedulim. Then if you go and replant what grows, that would be Gedulei Gedulim. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks the Kasha. He says, the Gemara over here is comparing the halacha of Tevel, where we're saying that B'davar She'ein Zara Kala, Gedulei Gedulim Na'asar, to a case of Truma. So he says, how could you compare the two cases? Tevel is a davar sheyesh lematirim. It's something that could be repaired. Just go and take off the truma semaisris. However, truma is not a davar sheyesh lematirim. It can't be corrected. So how can we compare the two cases? So the Rishash says that if you look in the Mishnah that the Gemara just quoted, you'll see that the Mishnah is not limiting its discussion to tevel, but rather you'll see that the Mishnah is discussing all sorts of growths, not only tevel. Rabbi Kiva Eger answers that the truma we're discussing is a truma that doesn't have bittel, that the extra part that grew is a very minuscule part, and it's not bottle to, it is not bottle to the rest of the truma. That means it's all now truma and it cannot be repaired because it's all considered like the original truma, and that gives it the same status of tevel, which also there is no bittel by. So now we need to understand the Mishnah that the Gemara quoted about somebody planting truma, that the Mishnah said asurim taharim l'tameh, they are no longer tameh for asurim l'echa ishtiku. So now Abayim Rav Chananya Bar Avin are quiet. So my master said to them, Mida Shmir Lepacha, did you hear anything? How to say Pshat in this Mishnah? Amalhu, so Rabbi Master says, Hach Amr of Sheshes. Maya Surin, what does a Surin mean? A Surin Lekahanim. That even though they're no longer Tamei, there are, Kahayim may not eat it, Hoyle the Ifslu Behesachadas. There's a new problem here. Since while they were planted in the ground, they were not being properly watched, and if they're not being properly watched, they are possible they may not be eaten as truma tahara, because there's a din that it has to be watched. Asks Rav Baruch Tam, if the halacha is that truma has to be watched, and as we explained, the pasuk says vani hine nosati l'cha mishmeres trumasi. And we explained that Shmeres Trumasi, Losh Rabim, is talking about Truma Tahira and Truma Tameya. And the Torah says, Mishmeres, they must be watched. So how could somebody go and deliberately plant Truma Tameya if there's a Chiv of Mishmeres, if there's an obligation to watch it, and we're saying now when you plant it, you lose that opportunity? So Baruch Tam explains that the pasuk that says "Vahini nusatilcha mishmeres trumasi," that has to be watched, is only referring to truma which is tar and truma which is a safek if it's tar or tamei. However, truma which is already tamei, there is no chiyuv to watch it, because why should I watch it? I can't eat it anyway. It's tamei. And that's why he was allowed to plant it, but it becomes invalid to be eaten because it wasn't watched, and only truma that was watched may be eaten. Now, we now identified a new psul. The psul is called Hesach Hadas, or the word we'll use is inattention. Ask the Gemara. There are two ways of looking at the psul of Hesach Hadas. There's a mandam that says that if something wasn't watched, it's inherently possible. Shaper. So now we understand why these plants may not be eaten. They became possible because there was Hesach Hadas. Elamand Amr, according to Elamand Amr that says, Hesach Hadas, that what is the entire concern by Hesach Hadas? Psul Tomei Hava, we're concerned that it may be Tomei, my equal may, what's there to say here? Even here we know that they're Tomei. There's no question. So why does the Mishnah say that there's a problem? Why does the Mishnah say there's a problem because of Hesach Hadas? Hesach Hadas is only because it may become Tomei. Here we don't have to worry it may become Tomei, it is Tomei. And therefore it should be Mutter. Ditmar, as we explained. Hesach Hadas. What is Hesach Hadas? What is the issue with Hesach Hadas? Rav Yochanan Amar, Psul Tomei Hava. It's an inherent, it's a Psul because it may be Tomei. Rav Shlomo Amar, Psul Guf Hava. It's an inherent disqualification. Rav Yochanan Psul Tomei Hava. Rav Yochanan says that it's only possible because it's Tomei. What will be? Shim Yova Eliyahu Yitarenu. If Eliyahu Hanavi will come and tell us that it is not Tomei, that even though we didn't pay attention, we didn't watch it, it did not become Tomei. Shemeloi, we'll be allowed to eat it. It's fine. Rish Lakish Amar Psul Guf Hava. It's an inherent disqualification. And even if Yova Eliyahu Yitarenu, even if Eliyahu Hanavi will come and tell us that it's Tar, ain't Shemeloi, wouldn't help because it's inherently disqualified. So, now the Gemara goes in for a moment to discuss this debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish between about Hesach Hadas. But before we discuss this debate, when we speak about Hesach Hadas, it's relevant even to us halacha l'maisa, because the halacha is that a woman, after she's a nida, and she needs Zayin Nikiyim, she needs 7 days in which she has no flow of dam, and she has to watch herself that she's tahor. What's going to be the halacha if a woman during these 7 days has hesach hadas? She's not paying attention all the time if she's completely clean. So the shayla of Tshuvas Me'il Tzedakah says, the Algamar teaches us that hesach hadas is a psul tuma, it makes somebody tamei. But perhaps that woman would have to start the zayin nikiyim again. The Masham disagrees, and he says that if a woman at the beginning of the Zayin Nikiyim did a bedika to make sure that she's tahor, even if during the rest of the Zayin Nikiyim she was not as careful as she ought to be and constantly being on attention if she is tahor or not, the halacha is that she will be allowed to go to the mikvah after those 7 days. Eisver v'yoychan Rish Lakish. Rishma v'noish v'yoychan Omer. Lul katan hayu ben kevus mizbeach. There was a small cavity built between the ramp of the mizbeach and the mizbeach. B'marovas al kevus, on the west side of the kevus. Shesham hayu zarkim psuli chatas oif. Where the kahana would throw chatas oif that might have become tamei. That might have become posel. I'm sorry, not tamei. That might have become posel. The tubits rosim, we would leave them, and there's a machlokes Rashi and Rambam how to learn ibat sura. Rashi learns ibat sura means that they're left overnight. Because the halacha is that any kotshim that are left overnight automatically become posel. The Rambam's definition of ibat sura is as the words imply. They decompose, and once they decompose, they become invalid. The yotzel beis reifa, and then they would take them out to be burnt. They would take them out to be burnt. So obviously what happened when it was put into the lul, there was hesach hadas. Nobody was watching them in the lul. Now, I'm b'shlam psul tuma hava, if we say that what is the problem with hesach hadas, that it may be tamei, b'shamachiv b'yoy b'tsura, that's why we have to wait overnight. Because just because they put it into the lul doesn't mean that it for sure became tamei. So since it's not for sure Tomei, I can't burn it. When can I burn it? After the night passes, where I know for sure it's disqualified, because as we said, anything that's left overnight is automatically disqualified. Because Shamav Eliyahu Vitarana, Eliyahu may tell us that just because it was in this lul doesn't mean it's Tomei. Eli Amrit Psulagov, if we're going to say that Hesach Hadas is an inherent disqualification, why do I have to wait overnight? As soon as we put it into the lul, it should be automatically disqualified. because what Tanya we learned in a brisa, Zaklal Kol Shepsula Begofay. Whenever there's an inherent disqualification to Kachim, Yisarf Miyad, they should be immediately burnt. But Dam Balam, only if there's a disqualification in the Dam or the Balam. Rashi explains Dam is that the blood was spilled out, or Balam means that the Balam, the owners of the carbon, after the carbon was brought, became Tomei. Karban Pesach was brought, and then before the time of eating it, the owners became Tomei. There it is, Tuvit Sarasim. We have to wait overnight. If you had some basis straight from that, burn it. So ask the Gemara. If Rish Lakish is correct, that Hesach Hadas is an inherent, independent disqualification of Kachim, so why is the halacha that they had to wait overnight? After they put it into the lul, it should be immediately be burnt. Now Tosfos asks, Tosfos and Amar Aleph, that perhaps the psul over here was not a psul of Hesach Hadas. Maybe the psul that happened to this Chatas Ha'oif was that there was a psul in the Dam, or there's a psul in the Balam, that we just learned this moment that in those cases you need Ibet Sura. Answers Tosfos, correct. Perhaps what caused the problem with this Chatas Ha'oif was a problem with the Dam, was a problem with the Balam. But what did they do afterwards? They threw it into the lul. Once they throw it into the lul, it's subject to Hesach Hadas. And if it's subject to Hesach Hadas, and Rish Lakish says that that's an inherent psul, so I shouldn't have to wait anymore for Ibet Surah, I should be allowed to burn it immediately. Answers the Gemara, Rish Lakish answers, Amalei, Hai Tana Tana Deber Avu Hudama. The Tana this Braisa is the Tana that we learned in Braisa in the Yeshiva of Avavua, that holds Afilu Pigel, any type of disqualification, even the disqualification of Pigel, which is an inherent psul, of course, Ibtan Ibet Sura, always requires Ibet Sura. So yes, says Rish Lakish, Hesach Hadas is an inherent psul. But even though it's an inherent psul, that doesn't mean it doesn't require Ibet Sura. Eisvei asks Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish, it says in a braisa, Nitma, if the meat of a carbon became Tomei, Oish Nifsal, or became disqualified, all habasa, we're talking about the meat, or went outside of the azara where it's now allowed to be taken. Rebbe Lezer, I mean Yisroik. Rebbe Lezer says, since the disqualification is in the meat, not in the blood, so you're still allowed to do zrikas adam. Rebbe Shua, I mean lo Yisroik. Rebbe Shua says, you should not throw the blood of this carbon. Umayd Rebbe Shua. However, Rebbe Shua agrees, Shem Zorik, that if somebody did do zrikas hadam with this type of carbon, hurts. That after the fact, the carbon is effective. My nifsal. Now, what the brisa began nitma or shenifsal? What is the disqualification that's being referred to? Laba hesach hadash. It refers to hesach hadash. Now, iam bishloma psuli tomahava. If you're telling me that the problem with hesach hadash is a problem that it may be Tomei, that's why the Zrikas Adam will work, whether according to Rabbi Eliezer L'chatchila, or whether according to Rabbi Yeshua B'diyevet. Could there's a halacha? Hanim Shkatzloi the Matzit Tzitz. The Tzitz that was worn by the Kohen Gadol had the ability to affect that the carbon would be considered a kosher carbon, even though there was a problem with it, a problem of Tumah. Eli Amrit Psula Gufhava, if you're going to tell me that Hesach Hadas is an inherent psul, am I heard the tzitz? The tzitz doesn't work. The tzitz only works for psul has a psul tumah, not any other psul. And according to you, asks Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish, Hesach Hadas is a new, independent, inherent disqualification. Says Rish Lakish, you're right. The psul there is not Hesach Hadas. Because if the psul were Hesach Hadas, tzitz could not help, and Rabbi Eliezer would not allow us to spritz the dam of such a carbon, l'chatchila, or Rabbi Shua b'diyevet. My nifsal, what is the psul? The psul is nifsal b'tfil yoyim. It became possible because somebody who's a tfil yoyim, we explained that tfil yoyim is that somebody who went to the mikveh that day, but did not yet have hair of shemesh, that person touched this carbon, so it's a psul of tumah, and since it's a psul of tumah, that's why the tzitz will work. Now ask the Gemara, ihachi, if that's the case of nifsal hanatame, isn't that the exact same case of tame? And the Bryce already mentioned nitma. Answers the Gemara, trei gavni tame. We're mentioning two types of tama. One is a regular situation of tama, and one is a case that it was nifsal but full yoim. And the Mefarshim ask, why do we need to mention two cases of tama? They're both tame. So the chiddush is that even though, as we've said many times, the tumah of a tful yoim is a very low level tumah, so perhaps I would say maybe only by tful yoim there's a halacha that the tzitz will work, not by a higher level of tumah. That's why the Braisa teaches us that under all circumstances of tumah will the tzitz allow us to spritz the dam. Now the Gemara goes back to try to discuss this Mishnah about the Tomei Truma that was planted. Kisolk Ravin, when Ravin went from Bavel to Yisrael, Amr L'Shmaitza Kameid Rav Yirmiyah, he said over what we just taught from Hashesha to Rav Yirmiyah. Vomar, so Rav Yirmiyah said, Bavloi Tapshoi, the people from Bavel are foolish. Mishum the Yasvid the Arad Chashucha, because they live in a dark land, Bavel is a low-laying land, and therefore it's dark. Amin and Shmatzadam Chashucha. They say dark things, they say things that don't make sense. L'shmila Chadr Shemir Shlokish made Rav Oshia, haven't you heard what Rav Shlokish said in the name of Oshia? The Aloch is, Me'achad Shnitmu. We know the Aloch is that on Sukkos, every day of Sukkos, in the base of Migdosh, they did what was called as Nisuch Hamayim. They poured water onto the Mizbeach. Now, it was done even on Shabbos during Sukkos, which posed a problem, because the water that was used for Nisuch Hamayim was water that came from the Shiloyach. But they couldn't bring that water on Shabbos to the Beis HaMikdash. There weren't a lot of carry. So they brought the water from Erev Shabbos. But even in bringing the water from Erev Shabbos, there may be a problem. Because if they would put that water into the Kli Sharis, as we learned before, if it was left overnight, all Kachim become disqualified with Lina. So they would not put it into, generally they would not automatically put it into the Kli Sharis. Teaches us the following braisa. This nisach mayim water that became tamei. Hishika, if somebody wants to make them tar, he has the opportunity of doing something which is called hashaka. That although a mikveh, you can't put oichel or mashkin into a mikveh to make it tar, there is something called hashaka. Hashaka is by subsuming it into the mikveh. What comes at, you put the entire vessel in, which has the water in it, into a mikveh, and you let it somehow kiss, hashaka means to kiss, somehow touch the mikveh water, and that water now becomes tahor. So says the Braisa, hashikon, if first you do the hashaka, and then hachkachidisha, and only afterwards you magdish the nisach hamayim water to hirim, this process of hashaka will make the water tahar. Hagdishon, but if first you had sanctified the nisach hamayim water, vachkachidisha, and then you want to do hashaka, tamayim. It won't work. Now ask the Gemara, Michti, let's understand this. Zriyininu. What does Hashoka do? What Hashoka accomplishes is that it's Zriya. It replants the water. And it takes the water back to where it was from the beginning, in its pure state. So if that's the case, Mali Ashikon v'achakach Hekdishon, Mali Hekdish v'achakach Shekon. What's the difference if the Ashaka took place before the Hekdish or after? What must we say? A new concept. Ein Zriya l'Hekdish. You can't do Zriya to something that's Hekdish to make it go back to its status of before the Tumah. Hachnami, the same thing, when you plant a truma, ain't real a truma, you want to replant a truma and make that it should lose its status of truma, that can't happen. So therefore, that's why the kohen may not eat the truma that was replanted, because since it was truma, replanting it, we're dealing with something which is holy, cannot bring it back to its original status. And the truth is, this concept of Ashoka is a very important concept, and it's used really for all the mikvahs that we go to, because we know the mei shuvim, drawn water, is not kosher for a mikvah. Though most of the water in the mikvahs that we use is mei shuvim, so how can we go to such a mikvah? Because there's Ashoka. Since there's a opening between the bar, the pit that has the rainwater, and the water that has the meshuvim, that, so to speak, replants, as the Gemara used the concept of Zriya, connects these two waters, and that's what makes the meshuvim have the status of rainwater. And the concept really is also a concept in a philosophical level. The Mishnah Masechta Yuma says, Ma ha-mikvah mataras ha-tameim, just like when somebody is tameh, he goes to the mikvah, Af ha-kodesh baruch mataras Yisrael, ha-kodesh baruch hu is Matar Klal Yisrael on Yom Kippur, in which the Pasuk says Lifnei Hashem Tataru, and explains the Shem Shmuel that what happens to a Jew on Yom Kippur, he reconnects to his original state, to his state before he did an Aveira. How does he do that? Lifnei Hashem, by connecting to Hashem, just like a mikvah becomes kosher when you connect the rainwater to the Mei Shuvim. Here too, a person connects himself to Hashem, and that's how he becomes Tahor, and Yom Kippur is effective for him. Yasser Avdim v'kamalal Hashmat. So Avdim was sitting and learning this Gemara. Now, the halacha is that there are two statuses of Kedusha. There's something that has Kedushas Haguf, it's inherently Kadosh, and something that has a lower level of Kedusha. When the water for the Nisach HaMayim is put into the Kli Shares, it attains Kedusha Saguf, the highest level of Kedusha. But before the water is actually put into the Kli Shares, it's designated to be used for Nisach HaMayim. Kedusha Sapeh. A person says, I'm going to use this water for Nisach HaMayim. So now the question is, that we differentiate it, as we said, between when the Hekdash happened. If it happened before the Hashoka will not be effective. If it happened after, if the Hashoka happened before the Hekdash, then the Hashoka will be effective. What kind of Hekdash makes a difference? Hekdishim b'kli kamer, is it only if it was put into the Kli Shoris that it has this high level of Kedusha, then the Halacha is that Hashoka will not work. If it was only Kedusha's Peh, Chazal did not say Hashoka will not be effective. Chazal said even if it only has Kedusha's Peh, Hashoka will not be effective. I don't know the answer to this specific question. However, I heard something similar. We go back to the Gemara that we discussed yesterday. Grapes that become Tomei. Dorchon v'achkach Hekdishon, if somebody pressed them and then the juice and extracted the juice and then made the juice kadosh tahorim, the juice is tahor, because as we explained yesterday, juice in the fruit is not considered an inherent part of the fruit. Rather, the juice is considered like it's in a container. The grape is no more than a container. So therefore, the juice passing through the tamei grape doesn't get affected. However, if somebody made the grapes kadosh, vakach darchan, and then he squeezes them, tameim. So you see that Chazal were machmer, that on grapes that are kadosh, squeezing them will not be effective. Now we have to understand, Kedushas Peninu. Grapes only obtain Kedushas HaPeh. Because a Kli Sharis would not be effective for grapes, because grapes don't belong in a Kli Sharis. Vafilachot, we still see Ovid Rabbanu Malah. Chazal wa Machmer, that even though it has a Kedushas HaPeh, it's considered Kadosh and has different rules. Om Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, your proof is not definitive. A novim kamrit, you're asking a question from grapes. Hacha ben novim shal truma skinen. And that Gemara was talking about grapes of truma. The kedushas are pended to kedushas kli damya. The highest level of kedusha it can obtain is only kedushas peh. There is no kedushas of guf of putting something like that into a kli sharis. So therefore, it hits its highest level of kedusha, and that's when Chazal make their chumras. Avhani the boy kli. Here, nisach hamayim water can attain the kedusha of being put into kli sharis. Perhaps peh, when it only has kedushas peh, le'ovid rabbanan mayla, Chazal did not make this chumra that it's kedusha. That it has the din of Kedusha, even though it was only Kedusha Tzapeh. And the Pnei Yeshua asks, if Chazal made Chumras, why should we differentiate between Kedusha Tzapeh and Kedusha Guf? So he says that since, as we're explaining, Hashoka is so effective, now going to say that Hashoka is not going to work is something that we want to limit. And perhaps therefore we only limit it to a situation where it had Kedushas Haguf, not Kedushas Peh. As the Gemara Darchon, we just explained that if the grapes are Tamei, we could squeeze them. But Filotuva, it means that even if you have a lot of grapes and you're squeezing out the juice. As the Gemara Miyam, Rabbi Yochanan, Achi, did Rabbi Yochanan say this? Vavrama, Rabbi Yochanan, we learned yesterday in the previous plot, Rabbi Yochanan said, Anovim shenitmu, grapes to become tamei, dorchen, pachas, pachas, mikabeya. We have to squeeze them less than a beya. Why? Because the grapes, which are tamei, if you have the shear of a kabeya of tamei grapes, they give off tumma to the juice. So you have to be careful to have less than a kabeya of grapes. So says the Gemara, Ibai say, Mahachnan Pach Spikas for Kabeya. We're speaking where there was less than a Kabeya of grapes. Bibai Saima, Hasan Nav Liberation. In the Gemara that we referred to yesterday, we're speaking about grapes that touched a Rishon Latoma. The Havali, no, Shani. So now the grapes are a Shani Latoma. And since they're a Shani Latoma, the halacha is that a Shani Latoma makes a Shlishi by people who are makbid to eat chulin at the same status of truma. Hocha the noga b'sheni. However, in our situation, the grapes touch the sheni. The havelu shlishi, so the grapes touch themselves only are a shlishi, and a shlishi can't make a revi only by kodesh, nowhere else. So even if the juice will touch the grapes, they will not become tamei because a shlishi doesn't give off tuma by truma or by chulin shenasu like truma. Amarava Afanan Namitinina, we also learned in a Braisa that things that are Kodesh, Chazal, sometime added to them a Chumrah, like we learned here that Truma that was replanted doesn't lose its status, it's still considered Truma. In the following Braisa, the halacha is that if somebody becomes Tameh, they spritzed on him Mei Chatos, which was the ashes of the Parah Aduma together with water. So the pasuk says, "V'nosan lo v'mayim chayim akeli." He should put the water from a spring directly into a vessel. Shetei chiyusim akeli. You have to take it directly from the spring into the vessel. But ask the Gemara, doesn't the pasuk say v'nosan that he should place? That means that he could put the water from one vessel into another vessel. Alma talushinenu. They could be detached from the spring in one vessel before they put into the final vessel. But didn't the Brisa just say that you could only take it directly from the spring into the vessel? Elamala. What must we say? That Chazal made a chumrah that the water has to go directly from the spring to the keli. Hachinami Mala, the same thing we'll say by Truma that was replanted. Chazal made a Mala that has that even though it was planted in the ground, it will not lose its status of truma. Now Rashi says, didn't we say v'nosmaim chaim al keli that it's a pasuk, that it's not just a milad rabbanon? So Rashi says that pasuk is only an esmachta. Continues the Gemara. Amar of Shtim Rashi, another place that we see that the rabbanon made a milad. Afanan namitanina. Tava Allah, if somebody was tamei, mitzari was tamei, and on the seventh day he goes to the mikveh, as soon as he comes out of the mikveh, oichel b'maisa, he's allowed to eat maisa. Her shimsha, after the day ends, oichel b'truma, he may eat truma, if he's a kohen. We see, b'truma in, only truma may eat, but kachim loy, not kachim. Amai, tarhu, he's tar, he had tefillah, he had her shemsh. Ella, what must you say? Mala, it's a chumrim with rabbonim. Hachinami Mala will say the same thing by the truma that was replanted. So most mepharshim explain that what is the Mala? The Mala is that he can't eat kachim. What is the chumra? That he can't eat kachim until he brings his kabanas, even though he had mikveh and he had herif shemesh. The Chedusha Rim explains that the chumra is a different chumra. That the person went to the mikveh, he's still not allowed to eat truma until he has Herif Shemesh. Why does he have to wait for Herif Shemesh? Why shouldn't he be allowed to eat Truma immediately? So the Chedush Yerim says that Herif Shemesh is similar to Hashaka. What does Hashaka do? We said that it replanted, either when we planted in the ground, or we connected by the mikveh. Here to Herif Shemesh, when the day passes, a new day begins. When a new day begins, the person has tahara, and that's when he can eat truma, not before. So you see that it's chumra by truma that don't eat that we did not allow him to eat the truma right after he went to the mikveh, but rather we make him wait for truma till after Herif Shemesh. Amar of Ashi, afanana mitanina. We learned another place where there's a chumra. The basar, the Torah says, the basar, that a person who's tar could eat the basar kachim. Why do we need to say the word abasar? We learned the Gemara. The rabbis is an etzim alavoina. That even the wood and the spices, the alavoina, which are not really foods, are also subject to tuma. Etzim alavoina b'nei t'muininu. And that's the question. Are they subject to tuma? They're not foods. Elamayla. It must be that's a chumrah drabbanon. Hachinami maila, it's a drabbanon wa machmir, the truma that was replanted, that even though with the rice it should lose its status of truma, still will retain its status of truma. Really, as a machlokes rishonim, if this halacha of etzim levoina is only a drabbanon, or it's even with the rice that obtains tumas oichlim.